All right, so thanks, everybody. I want to first lead off and say that it's been, it's kind of timely. This is the time of year when I usually put out what I call like a state of the school. So this is a good opportunity to talk about how things are going at Uxbridge High School. We're already well into the process of organizing next year. Believe it or not, we started the scheduling process with our students this morning. And we have a lot to be proud of. So this is going to focus on some updates of not just the work that we're doing collectively, but I think the work that's being done by the students in and out of the classroom that I think will give a lot of reason for people to be proud. I'll give you like the thumbs up. So from a teaching and learning standpoint, our focus this year, as it has been over the last few years, has been on merging authentic and skill-based content with actual curriculum frameworks. So focusing on durable skill development for students. And I think the students that you hear from will be able to talk about how what they do applies to life outside of the classroom. Our teachers have been focusing on defining rigor, in that rigor does not always mean more. It sometimes means being a little deeper in thought and deeper in application. Most of our departments have at least one, well, they all have at least one, most have at least two common planning times over the course of a 7-day cycle during which they've prioritized looking at student work and calibrating student work. We do something called intergrader reliability. So that means the number of complaints that I might get from a department saying that teacher A and teacher B gave the same assignment but they're graded completely differently doesn't happen all that often. Most of the time things are done pretty fairly. From a curriculum standpoint, we have kind of four or five different dialogues going on at once. And I'll talk more about those as we go on, but we've been working in earnest through some work that Dr. Dwyer has been helping us coordinate on English curriculum frameworks and really redefining what that path looks like for students starting in grade 8 and making sure that it's aligning vertically with the sending schools. Specifically in math, we've been working very closely with illustrative math and doing a lot of work around student dialogue, which is very similar to what we're doing in Open Sci-Ed, which is a 6, 7, and 8 science program. And most recently, the state has adopted new frameworks for wellness, which has given us a good opportunity to look at not just what we're teaching, but how we're teaching it in physical education and health, knowing full well that there may be some curricular recommendations that'll come before the community, just because the frameworks have changed for the first time in 27 years. That's a long time. Health has changed in 27 years, so it's about time that Massachusetts got on board with that. We've also, and we're going to talk a little bit tonight about sort of the social emotional challenges that we've seen and the influence of external factors. Just last week or 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to facilitate a professional learning on the integration of AI and how artificial intelligence gets used for academic purposes by teachers, because there's a lot out there and it's blowing up very, very quickly. And as you see this, the next couple slides, I'm not going to read everything, but why we're talking about durable skills is that number that you see right there using occupational data from the Department of Labor is there are a lot of skills that are really critical for students to learn while they're here that show up in job descriptions and what colleges are looking for, namely problem solving, critical thinking, communication, things that are different than being able to, you know, get to a certain solution of a math problem or necessarily read a certain text. There's more to it than just that. We've been focusing on this wheel as a faculty. Again, I'm not going to spend a whole ton of time on it, but durable skills are in these domains, mindfulness and character, collaboration, things that the students may find themselves getting instruction on without necessarily knowing that this is where it came from. Because these statistics show us that 23 million job postings just last month had the word communication in them. 16.9 million had the word management. 10.1 million had the words problem solving in them. So this is, you don't necessarily get a grade in that, but you need to know how to do it. And that's become really a focus of what we're doing at the high school. And you'd see in just about any class that you walk into, I would hope, you guys are getting a preview of what you have to talk about, or you don't get fed tomorrow. Beyond the local, I'm just kidding. Lunches are free. Last month, beyond Uxbridge, I had the opportunity to present at the Future of Ed Tech Conference back in January. We were highlighted in Ed Week magazine. There were three school districts that they interviewed about reconfiguration. We were one of them. That was highlighted in Ed Week magazine a couple of months ago. Mr. Mora, who's here, he's our internship coordinator, presented back in February at the New Hampshire Leadership Institute to schools that are very similar to Uxbridge from all over New England that want to get in the business of what we're trying to do for our students. Ms. Larkin, Ms. Kaufman, or some of you may still know her as Ms. Doherty, are members of a statewide applied learning team that's been going out and visiting some other schools to look at different ways that we can encourage learning to be more authentic here. And we've been recommended to present at the National Principals Conference later this year, which we may or may not do because timing isn't great. I want to take a pause for a second just to mention this first bullet because I think right now it's one of the best kept secrets in Massachusetts. We were asked as part of, we were a member of something called the CAPS Network, and we were asked to see if we wanted to attend something called ASU-GSV, which stands for Arizona State University Global Silicon Valley. It's a conference that's run for about 20 years out in either Phoenix or San Diego. And as part of it, they said, do you believe that your school has done anything innovative? So I wrote a couple of paragraphs and hit send. And a few weeks later, I found out that an independent team of 24 international judges looked at all of the 138 people that had said, yeah, we think we did something innovative, and named us one of the top five in the world, which is a really big deal. And so my having to pay money to go to that conference now turned into they're paying us to go out to that conference. Not paying, they're paying the registration fee. I still have to get myself there. But we're gonna present basically an entrepreneurial pitch on why career pathways here have worked. There'll be, the thing I'm most excited about is that the MC for that event is the lead singer of Run DMC, which for a guy from the 80s is a big deal. Parents get it, the kids are like, who the heck is Run DMC? Bloody knows who Run DMC is. Last week, the United States Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, spoke to a group of principals from the National Association and spoke about the need to have college and career readiness, that the two were not mutually exclusive, which is kind of the hallmark of our school here. And if you listen to the governor's State of the State, she talked about the career pathway work that we were one of the first four schools involved in. And you heard about early college pathways, and you'll hear from our students that they take early college classes, that they're going to graduate from here with 3, 6, 9, 12 college credits that are going to help them on their way. And we talked about that more locally right here at the Blackstone Valley Chamber of Commerce's Ed Forum back in October. And, you know, to hear from other people in the region saying, you know, what we're doing at Uxbridge is pretty special is something I hope people are taking note of. As far as locally, we've been visited by like 80-something schools. Most recently, Mendon, Upton, and Milford came here. And the first thing that one of the Milford High School teachers said when they walked in was, where are all the cell phones? Because apparently cell phones at Milford High School are always out. It's a constant battle. And here it's just kind of part of the routine that when students go into class, they're there to learn. They still have their phones on them. We're not locking them up on anybody. We have earned a grant to put things away if we need to send phones to phone jail. But for the most part, students respect the guidelines that we put in place. It doesn't mean that we don't have problems with phones. It doesn't mean that kids don't sometimes do stupid things with phones. But it means that when people come in, they see that the focus here is on teaching and learning. Mr. Mora presented back last month at the there was a Blackstone Valley parent info session for juniors, and our school was again featured. We have Norton and Middleborough coming, and our district report card, which I'll hand out in a second, from DESE had us as a school making significant progress. I'm not thrilled with that. I wish we were further along on the right of that, which, you know, is meeting and exceeding benchmarks, but significant progress is better than no progress. And we've seen our student retention, our school choice in, and our SAT scores all have improved. On the subject of just moving the needle, we're beating the state average on a lot of different metrics. Advanced coursework participation, chronic absenteeism got significantly better over the last 2 years. It's a credit to the work of the counselors and Mr. Bertrand in particular. Our graduation rate is better than the state average, and I've talked about everything else. The other number that I think is particularly important is the grade 9 course passing rate. I haven't really done a deep dive into why that is as high as it is, but that's consistently gone up since the 8th graders have come here. And the fact that that has gone from 78.8% at the state level to almost 92-93%, the only bad thing about that is we're not making any money on summer school anymore. Like that account, if you look at that revolving account, there's nothing left in it because nobody's going to summer school because they pass everything here. And if that's the worst thing that we have happen at Uxbridge High School, I'll take it.
Are you saying that coincided with the 8th grade coming
into
that? Okay.
I do think that our numbers have gotten consistently better over the last 3 years. Whereas a lot of schools have not seen that. So the state's average is 78%, and we're at 92% for grade 9 passing. And like I said, we do a lot of internal analysis. The last bullet here I want to focus on is one that came up recently, and I know the number of students who reside in Uxbridge that attend the local regional technical school. That number is 137. Of the 137, 105 of them were here. The other 25 to 30 were either choiced out to a Northbridge or a Douglas at a younger age, but the number of applications that we've had at Valley Tech, you could change the slide, is, you'll see my first year here was FY16, I'm in year 9. In those first 3 years, we averaged between 85 and 95 students applying to Blackstone Valley Tech. This year, 44 students applied to Blackstone Valley Tech. And I will forever be the one that says Blackstone Valley Tech's our partner. There, you pay taxes. I live in Mendon. We pay taxes. We support BVT. The goal here was never to compete with BVT. It was to make families understand that when you go to Uxbridge High School, you have a 1 and a 1A. And I could emphatically say you have a 1 and a 1A. There are students who consider BVT, apply, get in, and don't go. There are some students who apply, get in, do go, come back. And then there are students who go and are very successful there, and that's ultimately what we all want, is for students to be successful regardless of where they end up in high school. We've had some students that have left and gone to private high school or Catholic high schools. And again, whatever those family decisions are, we're going to support them however we can. But we're trending to having 14 or 15 kids leave next year based on the metric, which is a big difference from 47 my second year. That's a big, big, big difference. For us as school leaders, our goal, a couple numbers I'm proud of. I mean, I think part of the reason why we get a lot out of our staff. I said we have 80 schools come in. Any day is a day that you could potentially have somebody walk into your room and you want to show off your best. But the assistant principal and I have conducted this year alone more than 200 classroom observations, and they usually lead to conversation afterwards. And that's a huge part of what we believe our job to be in terms of instruction. I think the students will say, yeah, we see people in the hallway, we see people in the classrooms. We're pretty actively engaged. I think the other part of this that I think is important to our work in general is the balancing of accountability with empathy. That people are still held to a high standard. Students are held to a high standard. And we follow legal obligations with respect to student discipline. But we also try to engage kids in for lack of a better word, restorative and responsive ways. Today, and I'll talk a little bit more about social-emotional in a second. Keep them going. I'm going to hand out in a minute our school improvement plan mid-year update. I do this with our school. We have our school improvement plan, and it has all the different goals, and it'll explain where we are in January. And what we try to do at this time of year is measure, are these goals that we're going to keep for next year? Are they goals that we're going to adjust for next year? Or are they goals that are going to change for next year? And the reason I say that now is the goals that we have for next year are delineated in budget. They'll be delineated in some of the curriculum work we'll do over the summer. They're delineated in some of the faculty meeting time that we'll have towards the end of the year. So things are always sort of cyclical. And we try to involve all kinds of different people when we do our school improvement planning. We involve students, we involve teachers, we involve families, and we involve people on the outside. Earlier this year, we had our first internship fair, and this is a good time for me to stop talking, because a couple of our student interns are here, and so is Mr. Mora. We have this year 71?
We're just under 70 right now.
So just under 70 student interns. I'm going to move over so you can talk to them a little bit. At our internship fair, which was held on January 10th, it was such a hit that the students and the community both asked that we do it again in the spring. And you know, when you see our students interacting with, you know, professionals from the community and doing projects that are really meaningful, it's kind of a nice culminating activity. And we've already started with the juniors for next year. So I'm going to either, you want them up at the stand mic?
Yeah, that's fine.
Dr. B?
Yeah.
Mr. D?
Yeah.
Did you guys rock, paper, scissors for who's going to go first? So Matt DeLibro is going to go first because he's not never met a microphone he's afraid of. Matt's going to be back in a couple minutes because he's also the president of our student council. And he is, well, he can tell you where he's interning. I'll shut up.
How's it going? I'm Matt DeLibro. I'm a legislative intern for State Rep Mike Soder. I've been doing it since May. It's been a great experience. I don't have a ton to say. Unfortunately, I don't have anything prepared, but we talked about durable skills a lot. This has been a great opportunity to, have a real work experience. I do most of my stuff remote. I've had opportunities to do in-person events and, you know, visit the state house and stuff, but all my remote work promotes those durable skills that we already went over, communication, helps, it's a very good experience. Through my few months, I've done a bunch of stuff like doing stats work. I've done research and just different maintenance things, helping out Rep Soder, and
good.
That's all I got. Done some great things over the past few months.
Are you going next?
Sure.
Thank you.
In your head, prepare something about student council.
I'm Madison Fairweather. I've been an intern for the nurse at Taft and the nurse at Whiten. And throughout the internship, I've been able to do small things like take temperatures and look in ears and see lice. But it has really gotten me more involved with the nursing, and I'm planning on going to college for it next year. And it through this whole experience, I've been able to learn a lot more about like what nursing I want to go in. I want to go into pediatrics, so it's been nice to see kids, work with kids, and just be able to form relationships with them because they get excited seeing me usually, so it's fun. And through the biomed pathway, I've also been able to realize I liked forensics, so I'm interested in that part of nursing also.
Excellent.
Hi, my name is Aiden Blood. Last semester, I interned at Blackstone Valley Physical Therapy Services, where on a day-to-day basis, I would go in and, I was called a volunteer AD, and I would really shadow the therapists that if the patients would allow me to observe them. And I did small things, like I would clean tables after, but really I was focusing on, learning how the body moves, because that's really what I want to get into and what I'll be studying next year when I go to college is exercise science and how, I want to get into strength conditioning, and that kind of really laid out whether I wanted to do physical therapy or exercise science. So, I thought it was great. Mr. Mora really gave me that. He said, hey, I have this guy that, you know, I know him, and I think you'd intern well here, and, you know, I took it from him, and it was a great experience I had. And this semester, I'm doing my internship with the athletic trainer at the school here. And, you know, that got me the athletic training side of, you know, the exercise science. And I've been doing strength programming for our sports teams here. Like, I was helping with the football strength and conditioning program this offseason, and part of the softball team's strength and conditioning program. And then just last week, I was able to prepare every spring team's med kits. So I was, you know, I made those up, and, you know, I think the trainer does a great job, you know, showing me what I need to see, and, you know, it's a great experience. I love the internship program here, and, you know, I wouldn't want to do it, you know, anywhere else. So.
Thanks.
Ellie? You've met Ellie before.
She'll be back. A couple times.
Yeah.
So my name is Ellie Lewis. I intern actually within the school with my advisor.
Keep going.
Oh, so yeah. My advisor is Ms. Tobin, who is an adjustment counselor here at the school. And so my internship is within my mental health club. So I'm working on spreading positive mental health awareness throughout the school, as well as kind of ending the stigma around it and letting students know that it's okay to not be okay. Some of the experiences I've had within my internship are preparing me for things in the real world. Like, in April, we have a health fair coming up, which I am entirely in charge of planning. So it's like event planning and just overall public speaking to students, getting students more involved within the school, and other things like that. So yeah, I really like the internship program here as well. I think it gets students hands-on, whether it's outside or inside the school. And it's a really good opportunity for students to get real life experience, whether it's public speaking or just getting involved with planning things outside and inside school. So, yeah.
And Ellie, we'll see you on April 3rd as well, correct?
I'll see you on April 3rd.
You got it. All right.
Just in terms of some of the community involvement, most recently in the arts, we have 8 works that are touring as part of the Youth Artworks exhibit. I've shared out a couple of links of some of the student galleries. We have 2 works that have been submitted to Doodle for Google, which, you know, when you go on google.com and it pops up with like a fun little image, that might be an Uxbridge High School student at some point. In student services, a few years ago, we started offering a Grid C class, which is a, you know, substantially separate class for students who need a specific service called post-secondary planning. We started that as part of the IEP process for students who needed additional support in getting ready for life after high school. And for the first time ever, every single student who's enrolled in that class now either has an internship or a part-time job, which doesn't really sound like a huge deal when you're talking about 6 or 7 kids. But when we talk about some of the profound needs that these students have, that's a really awesome step for us to have taken. And a real team effort around that involving counselors, special education liaisons, Mr. Mora, and some of the community partners as well. In terms of just something that I again, one of our best kept secrets, we have something here called the Lend-A-Look program. Some schools do this, some communities do this. We have 2 racks of donations from the community that cost this district absolutely zero. Like, that's right, zero, nothing. The racks were built by students in class. Everything is donated, the time is donated. Ms. Smutak is our sort of de facto leader. But people in the community have donated dresses, shoes, accessories, just coat hangers or dress hangers. And we have more than 120 outfits, and we've outfitted several who've made arrangements for the prom. And again, so a lot of times these things are like one-time wear, and you get them dry cleaned and they can go to somebody else, and it saves a whole lot of money. And sometimes students just pop in to get ideas of something they would or would not wear before they go spend a whole ton of money on something plus alterations. And I have 2 girls, so I'm acutely aware of what this process looks like. It's so much easier when you just have to change your tie and get a whole new outfit. So to talk about our counseling team, today we finished administering something called the Universal Screener to all of our grades. We use 2 devices called the GAD-7 and the PHQ-9, which are 2 devices that measure general anxiety and mental health and depression. I'm just going to read some numbers because I think they'll raise some eyebrows about why we've prioritized counseling positions and why, when we start talking about restoring things to the budget, anything that's mental health centric, including, you know, middle level athletics and intervention positions and counselors, have been such a priority. We evaluated the entire school, and the number of students who flagged as in the red, so that it spits out a score, and we you know, we use the score to evaluate high, moderate, low, or no risk on some mental health factors. We had 41 students that were flagged on the significant risk for anxiety and depression. That's one number. The number of students who had indicated in the positive, and this might include some of these kids, that they had considered self-harm or thoughts of taking their own lives, was 54. So just let that sink in for a second. Every one of those students, when that happens, we administer the assessment in the morning, is seen that day by a counselor. Every single one of those students is assessed that day by a counselor. We've had one that could not contract for safety that ended up hospitalized because we offer that assessment. And it's a team of seven, essentially, that gets involved, the three school counselors, the three adjustment counselors, and our school psychologist. We would not be as safe a place without that, quite simply, in period.
Is that a general, so is the first survey a general assessment, or are they referred to do the general?
No, it's everybody just takes it. What universal means is every single student in the school takes it, and it's called GAD-7 because there's only seven questions. And it raises a Likert scale of, like, you know, sometimes this, I have these thoughts every day, I sometimes have these thoughts, I never have these thoughts, I occasionally have these thoughts, and the fact, and then there is one question that says, I have thoughts of hurting myself, taking my own life, I'd be better off dead, and 54 kids that flagged that as somewhere near the top, so we address those right away. And like I said, we usually, you know, usually some students are able to contract for safety. We were able to either involve outside counselors, outside therapists, but it's a big number. And that's not the students who are in the yellow. The students who show up in the yellow, or the orange, I'm sorry, for us is the moderate. The moderate, we typically try and resolve those within 3 to 5 school days, or like within a week. But the ones that are in the red are all seen in a day or two.
Mike, can you just comment, though?
Yep.
The universal screening happens cyclically, but we also have a daily tool.
Yes.
That's used in the that's used as constructed by our district-wide behavioral health plan that we have running at all three schools right now, and I'll be presenting data on that at the Mental Health Summit on April 3rd, but if you want to talk about it briefly.
Yeah, so yeah. Our counselors work, you know, we work on something called a MyCAP, which is every student's plan that they start working on all the way through. Ellie mentioned that we're working on a health fair. We're going to have 35 odd, we're up to 37 vendors now, almost 40 vendors who will be here, and every student will participate in the health fair. And then we're working as panelists, really, on a mental health summit, because as recently as Friday night, you know, I'm at my synagogue and for Friday night service, and I get a text message from a counselor who gets an email from a student saying, I have a problem, and it was pretty serious, and we were in touch immediately with Uxbridge PD. So I share all of this, you know, because there's another side outside of the academic that can be very, very real and very scary. But we have really, I don't think it's unique to Uxbridge, but I think our responsiveness and the professionals that we have doing the job are second to none. They're first class, and I'm incredibly proud that this work gets done as thoroughly, as confidentially, and as discreetly. And, you know, when Milford was here, they asked a couple of these guys were on that panel. They must have asked the kids 1,000 different ways. You know, we don't have a formal advisory here. That's kind of one of those buzzwords in education. Like, do you have an advisory program? And they were asked that our students repeatedly said, no, we don't have an advisory really. We used to, it didn't really take off, but every single student said, I'll ask them what they asked you. Do you have an adult in the building that you trust that is not your counselor that you could go to if you had a problem?
Yeah.
And, you know, even Dan's back there. Hi, Dan. I haven't gotten you, Dan, but I haven't forgotten you. Dan's up next. So I think that's where we talk about SEL as being the sort of whole school framework. From an extracurricular standpoint, come on down, Dan. Most recently, you know, athletics gets a lot of press, you know, and well-deserved press. There are two schools in the state of Massachusetts that had a boys' team and a girls' team win a state championship in the same season in the last 3 years. We're one of them, Norwell's the other. But our student activities here are flourishing. And when I say flourishing, they're just, we just had an awesome musical. If you didn't get to Mamma Mia, I tried. They were all at practice this week, and we were going to have them sing, but the best you can do is hope for me dancing to ABBA. And nobody wants to see that.
We wanted to have a flash mob in the middle of the meeting tonight.
But most recently, our Science Olympiad team finished in the top 15 of the state. 5 years ago, we didn't have Science Olympiad. Mr. Loy, who's our advisor and coach, I think you'd have to call him a coach, right, Dan?
I don't know.
You know what you'd call him? I'll call him late for dinner. Mr. Loy, who's our advisor slash coach, is actually on the state board and has been really integral in getting it started. And he did it here for 3 years for nothing. It wasn't a stipended position. So we appreciate that it is now, because we have a lot of kids that are involved in it. And I get a chance. I go to a couple of the invitationals. This year I only got to one. But top 15 in the state. Dan's going to talk a little bit about being on Science O, and what, I don't know what events you did, and I can't even explain them because I was an English teacher, so you're up.
Is there something like specific you want me to talk about?
Why don't you talk about your events and how you did?
Oh, okay, so my first event is called Air Trajectory. You build a device that propels like a projectile, like a ping pong ball, with just air, and then you have to aim that device at like a really small target. And we did really good for the first three, and I kind of blew it on the last one. I'm gonna be honest. There's other events. I don't want to just talk about my own events. There's 23 events, all different fields of science: biology, chemistry, engineering. So I mostly do like the math and the physics events, but there's other stuff. If you're good at building things, you build something and you test it, and if you're good at it, then you go to states. And if you're good at chemistry, go do some chemistry. I'm not the chemistry guy, but there's something for everyone, and we did pretty good.
And we've had most of the students will compete in like two or three different events for Science Olympiad, but they have gone now to they go to the Brown Invitational, Harvard Invitational, UMass Amherst, and the states were at
Wentworth. Yeah.
So it gives them an opportunity to work in science labs at the college level as well. And we've gone from having like six or eight kids. How many students are on the team, Dan?
I think 37 right now.
So it's pretty popular, and for obvious reasons, and they're successful. It's nice when you guys have your Mr. Loy has his rivals. Like, he has teams that he definitely wants to beat.
Acton Boxborough.
Yeah. Really likes to beat Acton Boxborough. Sorry, Dr. Dwyer. they're like his nemesis. We beat them this year, I think. One of the teams did. No?
Not on the team level, but
in a couple of weeks.
We showed it to them in Air Trajectory.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Dan. And most recently, Ellie is going to come back up because she's our first state champion in DECA. And when we built our business pathway a couple of years ago, we had hoped to start DECA. It was a very popular organization at a school that I worked at previously. And Ellie could talk to you about her business plan and her project that earned her a trip to Anaheim.
So the first question I always get when I talk about DECA is, what is DECA? So DECA is a school club that is national. There's over 250,000 members in it in the United States alone, and 10,000 in Massachusetts, which is the eighth out of which it's a huge thing. And it's basically a club that prepares emerging leaders and students, anyone interested in business, marketing, hospitality, and it prepares them by letting them compete in events. So there's over 50 events that you can compete in, and mine is business growth plan. So in my event, I had to write a 20-page summary on how I plan to grow my own personal business in the next 5 years. And then I also needed to prepare and memorize a 15-minute speech about how I plan to grow my business, which is very hard. But overall, the experience of DECA, you network with so many different people in different schools, people that are involved in so many different things, and you learn so many different kinds of skills like leadership and public speaking, like I talked about earlier, and just like learning. And you also have to present and not be nervous, because that's another thing, which was not fun. So, but it took a lot of hard work in order to get to Anaheim. It's not just like you do this, you get to go to Anaheim. No, there's a lot of work in school and outside of school. And me and my advisor, Mr. Guerra, who couldn't be here tonight, but he's amazing, worked very hard on it. And I think the business pathways here within the school is very successful. This is my first year in DECA, and this is my last year in DECA also. So that was a huge thing. But we're preparing a lot of our emerging students coming from middle school, and just overall the students that are already here, we're trying to get them involved in DECA if they're in business classes like marketing and hospitality and independent living and money. We're trying to get all of those kids involved, because this is such a huge thing that a lot of people don't even know what it is. So just teaching the kids about it, and teaching that it's not just like a club. You can go on vacations, you can get trophies, you can meet new people, you can try new food. I tried margarita pizza for the first time, so that was fun. So just getting people involved.
What is going on these trips?
But we were in Boston for a few days, and I had never traveled or stayed with people I'd never met before. So there's even things like that that you would never expect to experience in this club, and it prepares you for so many different things that you wouldn't expect. So, and you even get free t-shirts. So I really suggest this club to anyone that's interested, whether it's entrepreneurial or business-wise, anyone that's going into college or just interested in business, hospitality, anything like that, should look into this club, because it's helped me a lot in my business. It's helped other students, whether it be in school or just in general in social lives. It's a really good program, and I think that more kids should be involved in it, because we only have about 10 members. So, yeah.
What's your business?
I own Elle's Creations, which is a small metaphysical business that I run at my workplace, A Touch of Magic up the street with the big skeletons. I make jewelry. I even teach classes with up to 15 people in them. We celebrate pagan holidays. I even do paint classes where we teach people about different things like moon phases, and then we paint the moon phases. It seems stupid, but it's really fun, and we build community, and it's a lot of fun. And we even had a paint class here literally about a couple hours ago with my mental health club, and we painted just teaching kids about different like coping skills and stuff. So it's a lot. And writing a 20-page paper about it. It's not just writing a 20-page paper, it's designing. You have to have photos and a theme, and it's a lot of fun. Kids that are into graphic design should really look into DECA as well, because that's helped my graphic designing skills a lot. There's so many different things. There's role plays, there's presentations. You can have a teammate, you can do all sorts of stuff. So DECA is a really good program, and I really recommend it.
Thank you.
So like, we have the organization that's sort of still in its fetal stage, and one that's more like infancy. Student Council's well established. It's the veteran organization here. It's been around for a very long time, and has been very successful. But gold medals don't happen in a just in a box. They don't happen by accident. And you're in this picture too, Matt. So you're kind of peeking out of the corner next to Ms. Cahill. But Matt's our president of student council. They earned the gold at the recent state conference. It's a credit to their volunteerism and all the things they do around here. Not just here, like the broader here. Like if you need something done in Oxbridge, Ms. Bernard and this group of students is your go-to.
This is my fifth year as a member of the student council, second year serving as president. Mr. Rubin kind of said it, great organization. We do a lot around the community and the school. In the community, we have great relationships with the senior center and the food pantry. Around the school, we put on our homecoming dance, pep rally, our snowball dance. We recently did our second dodgeball tournament where we raised $1,200 for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, so that was a big success. This year, we're hosting a regional conference, the CDMASC Spring Conference, at our school. I think it's the first time we've had it at Uxbridge in 20-something years. Yeah. Definitely first time in the school, so that's it's a big deal. Like Mr. Rubin said, we've been a gold Council of Excellence in Massachusetts for a few years now, and last year we were also a National Council of Excellence, which we're waiting on. We're waiting to hear back on this year, but hopefully we'll get it. But yeah, personally, it's been a great experience of being a part of the council, and you know, we do a great job putting on events and helping out the community. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt. So just to kind of wrap things up, I know that what's unique to us, that was last week. That's Congressman Auchincloss. The other person is the principal of the Clough School over in Mendon Upton. You know, you have people boots on the ground here that are not just advocating for Uxbridge, you know, here, but we're at the state level. Mr. Mora presented at the State House on behalf of youth sports, starting as early as, you know, fifth and sixth grade, and the need for youth sports at the State House back in, I think it was October. You know, we facilitate PD. I mean, I've had the opportunity to facilitate PD. Two of our teachers are going to be presenting at MassQ on how they changed their curriculum around something called game-based design, where the students go activity by activity, unlocking levels, basically, based on the tasks they do in the classroom. And, you know, people come to us. And the last line is something if I had one parting word, I think it's something that's important to me, is that we try to follow a compass and not a weather vane. Like we have our ideas of where we want to go and how we want to get there. And when the wind blows, it might blow us off course temporarily, but it's not changing where we're going. And I think if there's a nautical metaphor that is important, it's that one, because we really are very strong in our beliefs. And there's just a few of the top left, there's Ellie and her trophy with Mr. Guerra. That's a Science O medal in the bottom right. And the top right is the escape room curriculum that they were working on a couple weeks ago. The teachers were camera shy, which is ironic because one of them is the media teacher. And actually the bottom left corner is the Secretary of Education speaking to one of our students at the Mass STEM Summit in Boston. Future planning, we're going to have an educator pathway. We're trying to work on closing the educator pipeline gap right here. We interviewed with the department a couple of weeks ago. I think it went pretty well. Their final designations will come out in a couple of weeks. There are not many grow your own pathways. We're working with a group called Ed Rising that has been very, very supportive of that. It's a national grow your own. There's a lot of resources, and there are a lot of states that are doing a better job of this than Massachusetts, I think partially because, you know, they're more rural and need to grow educators, but so do we. And something that is really on our mind is just the idea of a portrait of a learner and what these durable skills all mean, and whether that becomes a K-12 or just remains as something we have to look at as we look ahead to our next accreditation visit, which is a few years off. That'll be sort of an important thing as we look ahead to like 26 or 27, not necessarily the immediate, because that's a big process. There are challenges. We mentioned the mental health challenges. I think balance is always challenging. You know, we know students have lots of different priorities, and we want to make sure we're honoring all of those, and making sure that people have a stake in the game. You know, as you saw, there are a lot of people who have a lot of opinions and things that are important to them, and we want to make sure we're balancing that. And that, before I close out and say thank you, he's been dutifully sitting over there, and Mr. Mora is our internship coordinator. He's not just here to hand out the handouts that I forgot to give you at the beginning. I do want to give you the opportunity to ask him any questions that you may have about either the internship program, any of the students they have questions for or questions for me before we say goodnight and turn things back over to Dr. Baldessari.